Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the day of joy. We expect the Lord to manifest himself in this place. Amen. That however we came, the Lord will meet us. Hallelujah. As Pastor Kathy was talking about her dream, I think she said it was today. Mine was yesterday. And it was still about the water. It was still about the water. Yesterday morning, I woke up and I had a dream. And in the dream, there was this big water. And at first, it was shallow. And I saw somebody from this congregation that walked over. It was shallow. But then the water began to rise. And it began to rise. And as it was rising higher, I was saying, somebody has to carry us because it was rising so high. And I woke up with a song that was not a Christian song. And I'm like, Lord, how are they connected? But I woke up singing the song, "The Tide is High, but I'm Moving On." You know that old song? It's not a Christian song. But I was singing that song, and then I went into the scriptures, and I saw that the waters can rise, and they can go deeper, and we can go deeper. May he take us to deeper waters today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We have come to Mount Zion. Welcome to church, everybody. I have what a wonderful opportunity that I get to stand here and to share the word of God. I'm like, who am I? But I know that the Lord has a word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He has given me a word, and the title of it is "The Time Has Come." Hallelujah. Tell somebody, the time has come. Your time has come. Your time for exaltation. Your time for promotion. Your time for divine lifting up. Your time has come. The time has come for an end to all those struggles, to all those battles, because this is the season of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the time has come. So we are going to just share together and say, what is the Lord saying about the time that has come upon us? Today happens to be the ninth day. Actually, it is the tenth day in the Jewish calendar by today. That is leading from the time of the Feast of Trumpets to the time of the Feast of the Day of Atonement is 10 days. They call them the 10 days of awe. And then from there to the Feast of Tabernacles again. It's a time, there are three feasts that are celebrated in the Bible. They are not Jewish feasts. We call them the Feast of the Jews. They are the Feast of the Lord. Check Leviticus 23 verse 1. It says, "These are my feasts." These are appointed times of the Lord. And within these 10 days, but there are some traditional things that came into it, but the Bible is still standard. So between these 10 days of the Feast of Trumpets, which is the time that we in Mount Zion are taking as our time of consecration, this is our day 9, if you've been following. And that is the time, within these 10 days are the times that the Jewish people seek time to repent. And to get it right, humanly speaking, to ask God to forgive their sins, to turn away from everything. You repent before God and you do restitution with man to get yourself right for the Day of Atonement, hoping that the Lord will now see that you are good enough to write your name in the book of life. But who knows that Jesus has made us good enough? Unworthy as we are, he has made us accepted in the Beloved. And it is his blood that covers our sins. Kippur, the Kippur is to cover, is the covering, the Day of Atonement. It's tomorrow. That Day of Atonement is tomorrow, biblically. And so we are in the right time. It's the right season. It's the time of God's visitation. Because God does things by seasons. There's a song we sing in Nigeria. It says, "You are God. From beginning to the end." If you know it. "There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You are God. You are God. From beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself." Now listen to this part. "You've got times and seasons in your hand. You call for light out of darkness. You don't need a man to be the God you are, but you have chosen to call us your own. You are God, you are God. From beginning to the end, there's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. There's no other God. He alone is God. But he's got times and seasons in his hands. And we also know the song that we all sing, in his time, he makes all things what? Beautiful in his time. So God is a God of timing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. And please, let's read together as we get to those scriptures. Let's all be reading these scriptures together, because we are making declarations in the atmosphere. We are speaking the word of the Lord. And as we call upon the name of the Lord, he manifests himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Are you there? Yes. For he said, let's read it together. I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the accepted time? Now. So if you have a problem and you are saying, I'll just hang on, or you are expecting something from the Lord and you say, I'll just wait, he says, it is now. It is the accepted time. The time has come. The time is now. And we know the scripture. I'm sure we all know this scripture by now. Psalm 102 verse 13. We should know that scripture. We read it all the time. It says what? Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Amen? The set time has come. It is God's time. We are not just doing a religious exercise. Let's come together and pray for 21 days. We are coming with expectations, because it's the time of God's visitation. It's the time that the Lord is passing this way. You know, there are seasons even of our lives. As you look at the trees all around you, I'm beginning to be sad again, because I see the colors are beginning to change. That means that in the next 2 months, we'll all be dressed up. You know how we dress up. Looking like Eskimos and very afraid of the cold for some of us. But the seasons change. And the change comes and you see it. You know it's about to change. It's a time of transition. As you see the trees begin to change their color, you know fall is here. And these things came because that's how God ordained them. He's got times and seasons in his hand. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. The covenant that the Lord made with Noah. Genesis chapter 8. And we are reading verse 22. Genesis chapter 8. Are you there? Good. Let's read together. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. This is God's ordination. This was God's response to what Noah did. Noah built an altar, and the Lord made a covenant with Noah from there after this. And he said, this will always happen. So we have the different seasons. We know when it's right now it's summer, the summer is about to end, then it's fall, then winter. We have spring first before winter. And there should be something you love about each of these seasons. What do you love about summer? Somebody just shouted out one thing. Somebody said t-shirts of all things. T-shirts. Amen. The warmth. How about the fall? What do we love? The colors. Thank you, sir. And the winter? The indoors. Snow. And the spring? Allergies. Don't you like how things just come back to life? Everything springs back. Even the insects, they start coming out from hibernation. There are things that identify the different seasons, and we know when it's about to start. Even the sports has its seasons too. They have seasons in sports. And when these seasons are coming, we are conscious. we prepare for them. Actually, animals prepare more because they store their food knowing that it's going to be, we can't come out. I'm so grateful that during the summer you don't see a snake. I like that fact because they are all in hiding, but they have food somewhere. So they all get ready. Animals get ready. We get our proper clothing. We take out some of these light things that we have and we get our things ready. So in the same way, in the spirit, the seasons change. And this is a season that we are in right now. And we shouldn't just sit back and let it pass. Because if it's the middle of winter and you come out with your flip-flops and your t-shirt, you know what you'll get. You have to be dressed appropriately. You have to recognize the weather. And if we can do that for the physical weather, how about the spiritual climate that is changing? Are we conscious that God is doing something in this season? Or are we just, you know, if they announce this one, yes, we do this, we do what we can, we manage. Let's take advantage. It's a privilege. Let's stand up and say, God, I'm getting ready. The signs are showing the change of a season. The seasons are depending. Do you know what the seasons depend on? The change of seasons, they depend on the sun. They depend on the sun. Is the proximity of the as the earth moves, it will tilt the axis towards the sun, and that changes the season. That's why sometimes when it's summer, up in one atmosphere, in the northern atmosphere, what is it down there? It's winter. It's a different thing. And so the seasons are determined by the sun. In the same way, spiritually, it's the Son of God that determines the season. Think about that. The Son, he's got times and seasons in his hands. And he determines the times and the seasons. He's in charge, he's in control. The Bible says in Daniel 2, I will not read all of these scriptures because of time, or I may not ask you to read them, but I'll quickly read them if I'm there. In Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 21 to 23, it says, he changed the times and the seasons. God changes the times and the seasons. Daniel 2:21. So the feast of Israel, the feast of the Lord, the feast that the Jews are observing are in line with the Bible, and there are times of divine visitation. And Jesus himself fulfilled or is in the process of completing those feasts. You see, from Passover, the feast starts in March, February, March. You have the first fruits, which is Jesus rising from the dead. Then you have Passover. It's still Jesus, the Passover lamb, right? Follow me. Then we come into this season. I'm just talking about the five. And it starts with the Feast of Trumpets. The sounding of the trumpets is the beginning of the year. That started the first day of our prayer. And then tomorrow will be the Day of Atonement. That's when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. And then that continues until the Feast of Tabernacles, when they celebrate how Jesus, God tabernacled with them in the wilderness. So those are the feasts that the Jews celebrate. And these are the 10 days. Today is day number 9. Tomorrow is day number 10. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. Take advantage of that. If there's anything in your life that you haven't settled with God, take advantage of this day. Go back on your own or right here in church this day. Ask the Lord, is my heart right with you? Is my walk okay with you, Lord God? Because this is the appointed time. In the Hebrew, it's called the Moed. It's the appointed time. Remember what we read? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the appointed time, the due season. This is the time. Don't let it pass you by. It will not pass me by in Jesus' name. Tell somebody it will not pass you by in Jesus' name. He's got times and seasons. In Ecclesiastes 3, we know the scriptures. He says that for everything, there is a season and a time. A season and a time. And this is God's time. And there is a kingdom agenda that God has. It's not about you and I. In as much as God wants to bless us, and we are going to pray into those things that God will indeed visit us, but it's really about the Lord, because they are the seasons of the Lord. What is on God's heart for this season? What does God have for me as an individual? What does God have for Mount Zion as a church? Am I plugged in? What does God have for Cleveland, Tennessee? Why are you here? Is it just to go to school, to get a job, to go to church? Why did God plant you here? There's a reason. And we don't want to miss that. Amen? So is the kingdom agenda, what is the destiny? This is the day to ask the Lord, what have you created me for? What's my purpose in life? Am I just here to fill the number when they count 1 to 10, 1 to 9, and they say need for number 10, I become that number 10? No, there's a purpose. He says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, I called you, I appointed you. It's an appointed time. It's an appointment with the Lord. And it's a time of divine purpose being fulfilled. The NIV says in Galatians 6:9, it says that you should not be weary in well doing, for in due time, that due time is also the right time, is a proper time, is a time for reaping. And we've been talking about harvest in this place, harvest of souls, harvest of your reward, harvest of what God has in store for America. God has you planted in America for a reason. You could have been in any other nation, but you are here right now. And there's a purpose. So we are saying, God, help me. That this in this due season, I will not faint. He says you will reap if you do not faint. What does it mean to faint? To faint is, you know, it's when oxygen doesn't come off, right? When you are not fully breathing right, when you are not fully having yourself relaxed and the way you should be. Check your spiritual atmosphere, your spiritual temperature. Check yourself. Do I have enough? Or am I fainting? Can you truly say you are a soldier? You are a strong person in the Lord? Or are you fainting? Where are you? There are things that in the physical can make us faint. And those are things we want to present to the Lord today. There are obstacles that we all face. There are challenges. There are delays to some answers. There are sicknesses people are going through. There are problems, unfulfilled expectations. Things that you thought by now, we are now in September, will soon be in October. You were hoping that by this time, A, B, C would have happened, and it still hasn't happened. There are difficulties and challenges, and there are demonic roadblocks, things that the enemy has stood to block your way and to say you will not pass. Today, that's what we are going to pray about. We are going to tell the Lord, take away those stones. Remove those hindrances, both physically and spiritually. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 12. We are reading together from the book of Acts, chapter 12. Oppositions that need to come down, roadblocks that need to be removed, gates that need to be taken out of the way, things that the Lord needs to work on. What is that thing in my life? It may be myself, it may be my character, it may be a personality situation, it may be a challenge with somebody, it may be situations that you've pressed through, and it's just not coming down. Today we are going to ask the Lord, take it out of the way. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to read this time, Acts chapter 12, verse 3. This is talking about King Herod, who had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword in verse 2. And because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he further proceeded to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. It was at a time of a feast. And the enemy had a plan to kill somebody, a leader of the church. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Feast time, he was getting ready to kill him. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Are you in any kind of prison? In your mind? Is it in the family? Is there anything that has limited you in your health? In your finances? Is it a marriage situation? What kind of prison? Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without season. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank God for the gift of prayer. Don't take prayer lightly. And that's what is being done here. Please plug in. Even if you are doing it at home or on the street, on your job, take this time to pray. Prayer was going on without season of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. He was bound. two chains. Two soldiers were standing there. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands in a twinkle of an eye. Suddenly, quickly, the deliverance came just like that, because prayer, being said, prayer was going on. And the right time, the angel came suddenly, and the light shone there. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did so. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they passed the first ward. Soldiers were guarding the place. There was a barricade. You couldn't just go through. There was a first ward. And then there was a second ward. Have you gone through challenges that you thought you were in a bad situation and something worse? And you are like, "God, I thought it was going to get better." Instead, it got worse. And especially when prayer is going on. You see, as we are warring in one place, the enemy is intensifying his attack. He's intensifying the fire. And that's why you should not go to sleep. That's not the time to go to sleep, because he said, "Get up. Get up. Rise up quickly." And he did. And he said, and at the first and the second ward, when they were past those, they came into the iron gate. This is now the babake, as they say back home. The biggie one. The iron gate. It wasn't human beings that were manning this one. It was the iron itself. Do you know that there are situations that are not ordinary? You think, "Oh, this person is my problem. If only she can get out of the way." No, there are demons behind that. There are spiritual powers behind that. And even if that person moves out of the way, those spirits are standing there like iron gates. Only the power of the Lord can knock off every iron gate. And this day we are going to say to the Lord, as a church, as a congregation, where is the iron gate of my life? Where is the iron gate in my sister's life? This is the day for that iron gate. What did it do? It opened to them of his own accord, and they went out. Hallelujah. It will open this day, because the angels of the Lord are standing there. You see, when we read this scripture every week, that we have not come to a desert place, that we have come to the mountain, that we have come to Mount Zion, we have come to an innumerable company of angels. This is the time to activate those angels. Let them come into activity and let them make sure that every iron gate moves out of the way. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. May the angel do the work that is assigned to do in your life this day. In the name of Jesus. Whatever the iron gate, whatever the challenge in your life, when the Lord has said, "I have called you, Peter, to take the gospel to the nations," and Satan said, "Let's lock him up. Let's find a way to kill him." May the Lord send deliverance this day. We were singing about his deliverance, right? We called him Rapha. We called him Jireh. We are not just singing idle words. Let him manifest himself as those things in our lives this day. That whatever the iron gate is in your life, let this season not pass. And I'm praying that for myself. Whatever the limitation, you know, in prison, you are limited. They give you the kind of food they want to give you. They tell you where to lie down. They tell you what you cannot do. Well, it is time that limitation over my life, over your life, that enslavement, that limitation, that obstacle, it needs to give way in the name of Jesus. Let the impossible become possible. It doesn't matter how many they are. The first word, the second word, and the iron gate. The psalmist says in Psalm 118 verse 12, "They encompass me about like bees, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." It doesn't matter where they have come from, the north, south, east, and west. In the name of the Lord, we sang about that name. And we believe God that he will do it for the city. It doesn't matter how they swarm around you, how they've come around you. There must be a transformation. There must be a redemption. There must be a fulfillment of what Jesus came to do at the cross. Because you see, when you are whole, you can go around and help others. That's why we are here. It's for his purpose. It's not just for me to look good. What are you doing with money anyway? It doesn't go beyond clothes and food and a house. What, and maybe a car. Not maybe. That's it. How many cars can you drive? How many clothes can you wear? They mean nothing. When you are this dress I'm wearing is a hand-me-down. People come and they hand you down things. Tomorrow it passes to somebody. You don't have to waste anything because God is your provider. So let's not focus on those things. Let's keep our sights on him. This is the season as you repent and call upon the name of the Lord. He will change your garments. He will change your situation. He will take you out of that imprisonment like he did for Peter. So that instead of your winter where you are cold and somebody said you are locked up in the house, there is summer that is coming and we can go out in our t-shirts. Hallelujah. You can dress differently. You can live in peace. But that starts from being grateful. The little, the much the Lord has given you, are you grateful? Or your sights are on greater things? You want bigger? You want better? There's no end. We read Ecclesiastes in this house that the search of those things, it doesn't come to an end. It's a forever. Let's not run after things. Let's not run after those things. Let's live with gratitude. Live a life of gratitude. Tell God, I am grateful. Just for health, I am grateful. For a roof over my head, I am grateful. For shelter, for clothing, I am grateful. For people I can talk to. If you are locked up in some prison, there's nobody to talk to except the guard tells you, do this, do that, do this. But we have one another. You have the gift of sweet Marian. Everywhere you turn, she's there. Isn't that a blessing? Let's appreciate each other. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God that this is a time of transformation. So I just want to give you a few R's, things that we can remember in this season. Adversity will come. But when adversity comes, remember that we are the people of God and he has our back. You see, Noah, it was that time of covenant that God said, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, they shall never cease. We have a covenant with the Lord. And our covenant is stronger because it was cut between the Father and the Son. And we are beneficiaries. And the blood seals that covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. He said, I think it's Jeremiah 31:31. He says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. It's also in Hebrews 8. And the house of Judah. Not according to my covenant which they broke, though I was a father with them unto them. But this is a new covenant I will make with them. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write it in their minds. And no one will need to tell his neighbor, know the Lord. They will all know me, and I will be a father to them. I'll be their God, and they will be my people. This is the covenant we have. We are covenant people. So when those things begin to happen in the world, and you see like the enemy is winning, it looks like he's winning, laws are being enacted that are contrary to God's law, things are done in the government, in education, in all kinds of places, remind the Lord, I am a person of covenant, and I'm here to represent you and to enforce your will in this my job place. They will not do wickedness because I stand here as your representative, and I reject it. And even in your own life, when things begin to go haywire, adversity comes, difficulty comes, limitation comes, bondage and all kinds of afflictions, remind the Lord, I am a person of covenant. And in this covenant, me and you, you say you'll be my God and I will be your person. I'm the daughter of Zion. I'm the son of the Most High God. I'm a child of the King. So let's talk about what is required of me. Just some things that came to my mind. There's a lot more. But first of all, recognize God's timing. That's the R. Recognize God's timing. Don't let this season pass you by. If you've played with these last 9 days, we still have, I think, 11 more days or 12 more days. Take advantage. Say, God, I position myself. I stand in the right place. Recognize his timing. Don't be like Saul. The Lord had left him. He didn't know. He thought he was still all right. You remember Samson? The woman lulled him until she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he thought you will do like he did before. He did not know that it was a different thing. Let it not be like that. Don't be asleep and think you are awake. Amen. The Lord will awaken each one of us in the name of Jesus. The second R is to reassess your relationship with God. What is my role in the kingdom of God? What is my role in America? Why did God position me there? Go back to the Lord. Why did you bring me here? There's a reason. He said of Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said of Adam, where are you? If the Lord should ask the question, can you answer, I'm here doing what you asked me to do? May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The third R is repentance. I don't need to talk about that again because I've mentioned that this is the season of repentance. Take advantage. I'm not talking about worldly remorse where you will cry, but you don't forsake and turn away from it. I'm talking about deep repentance where you go and do a turnaround. Ask the Lord for the grace to turn around and there will be a transformation in your life. In the name of Jesus. In repentance, settle scores with people. We'll come to that again. But this is the time to settle scores. Change your garments. Be a different person. And the next one, reject anything that soils, that corrupts, that stains, that ruptures your garment. Anything that makes you unclean. This is the time to tell the Lord, I'm done with that. I've allowed it in the past, but no more. Even demonic influence that comes over you and you say, well, you know, that's just the way I am. No, that's you can do better. Don't accept, that's just me. And we too, we excuse each other. Oh, you know, that's just how she is. No. We need to change. It's a time for transformation. So reject anything that soils, that corrupts, that stains. Keep yourself pure. He's coming back soon, brethren, and he's coming for a pure church. The next R is resist the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7 to 8, it says that he comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he says, resist him, firm, stand firm in your faith. Resist the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a chance. If it smells bad, if it looks bad, if you think about it and you are not happy in your heart, reject it immediately. You see, Joseph could have stood there and said, you know, this woman, we're in this together. She won't give. She knows better than tell her husband. She'll be in trouble too. Oh, you know, it will get me more favor. He could have stood there to think about it. He did not play with it. The Bible says, flee all appearances of evil. Brethren, my brother, my sister, you are watching that movie and something evil jumps up at you or on your computer. Don't stay and say, well, let's see. Just immediately delete. Don't even waste time. Don't even think about it because the devil is roaring. He's looking. He's saying, how can I capture her? How can I capture him? What can I do? All these people you see writing all those nonsense things is from the pit of hell. And they have the power of the enemy waiting to capture the saints of God. But we have the power in the name of Jesus. We can resist that thing and resist the devil and flee in the name of Jesus. The next one is restitution. Is there somebody that has hurt you? And when I'm saying forgive you, I say, you don't understand. What this person has done to me, I can tell you, I've been there. I've been there that I wish something will happen and let the person be shaken up. But if God should do that to me, where will I be? This is the time to say, God, I let it go. As hard as it is, as much as I would like to see something knock that person off the where they are standing, I'm saying, God, I let it go. I forgive. And where you can, where is necessary, make restitution. Restitution just means if I stole something from Balmati and the Lord convicted me, I don't just sit down and say, God, forgive me. I take it back to Balmati and say, Balmati, I'm sorry. I took this from you. Forgive me. Restitution. That's with human beings. You repent to God, but you also repent. You make it right with people. Ask the Lord, is there anything in my life? Is there a score that I need to just settle and just say, God, please. And sometimes, I'm telling you, it's very hard. Especially when the person has dug deep in your heart. It's like taking a knife and doing this to you. It will take the grace of God. So at such times, just be frank with your God. Go back and say, Lord, I really don't want to forgive this person. I don't even want to talk to them. I don't want to see them. But please, Lord, help me. Help me do what pleases you, not what pleases me. Because if it's left to me, I will not talk to that person. I don't want to be in the same room with them. So ask God for help where it's difficult. Amen? And the final R is rest in the Lord. This is the season where the Lord will fight our battles. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, forgetting those things that are past, I press on. I press on. I leave it to the Lord. I let him carry me. I let the grace of God carry me. I let the Spirit of the Lord help me, because I cannot help myself. Rest in the Lord. That's your own part. So on your own part, first, reassess your relationship with God. Repent. Reject anything that corrupts and stains you. Resist the devil. Make restitution. And finally, rest in the Lord. And God has promised on his own part, I will be your God. And he's faithful. He will not fail you. He's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. When God speaks a word, it's as good as done. If God says, I will be your God, he will be your God. God, give us faith to trust you. Help me to believe you. That indeed you have finished this battle from the foundation of the world before I came to be, before my forefathers were born. You had settled this score. The lamb that was slain. He says the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. It's been decided. The purpose of salvation, the plan of salvation has already been done. And therefore, God's choice of me is a blessing that I'm in the kingdom. Some people ask this question, what about those that haven't heard the word of God? All I know is I will try and reach them, but for me, thank you, Jesus, that I heard. I don't want to play with what you've told me. And what has he told you? John 15, verse 16. You can just write this scripture down. He says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Choice. He chose me in a crowd of millions and billions all over this world. I think there's about 7 billion or almost 8 billion now. And he knows me, and he chose me as undeserving as I am. The King of Heaven chose me. You are chosen. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We are special. Jeremiah 1:5, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I ordained you. I called you. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, the Lord has chosen you. He says, out of all the people on the surface of the earth, the Lord has chosen you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Has it occurred to you that even being in this church, maybe the Lord chose this church for something? He chose me and placed me here for something. In my city, in this nation, has it occurred to you? Isaiah 43 verse 10, I have chosen you. You see how much God has chosen you? It's an election of grace. You did nothing to deserve it. I did nothing to deserve it. God just decided to choose us. God just decided to love us. God just decided to call us. And the day that the Lord said, I choose you, Satan said, I am opposing you. I will stand here as an entity to make sure that you do not fulfill the call of God on your life. But it's not dependent on me. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle. He says, stand still and you will see. The Egyptians that you saw yesterday, you will see them no more. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. So all that we need to do is to say yes to the Lord today and to say, God, whatever you are doing in this season, don't do it without me. That's a song. Whatever you are doing in this season, Do not do it without me. Do not pass me by. Father, look upon me this day. Look upon Mount Zion this day. Look upon Cleveland. I cry out for Cleveland, Tennessee. I cry out for America and the nations of the earth. Do not pass us by. And finally, I want to share, you know, I like the story of Bartimaeus. I always bring it up. Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, he was called. This is somebody that was labeled. He already has a title, Blind Bartimaeus. Why didn't you just call him Bartimaeus? And even Bartimaeus is not a name. Bar is, you know, bar in bar mitzvah. It comes from bar mitzvah. When you are you become the son of the law. Bar is a son. And bat, that's Hebrew. Bat is daughter. So bar is son. So he's the son of Timaeus. And Barjona, you remember Simon Barjona? And so Bar is son of somebody. We don't know his name. He's called Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And he was blind. And because he was a beggar, he was sitting on the ground with torn clothes, maybe dirty, maybe hungry, in a position of asking for help from people. Many a times, when the enemy pushes you down, you are looking for the next person to tell. The next person to ask for help for. From this season, may the Lord turn my focus fully upon him. So that in as much as people will help me, and if I need to ask for help, I will ask for help. But let that not be my primary attention, that I will go to man and say, what can you do? Look, seek help from what is over that man, what is above that man, especially for something that is impossible for you to do. Something that is too strong, like that iron gate, it will take the power of God to knock it down. So it was a new season. And physically, blind Bartimaeus was sitting there. He was a beggar. He wasn't in the midst of people. He couldn't see because he was blind. There was a limitation in his sight. What is the limitation in your family? What is the limitation in your life? For him, it was sight. But it was a new season. Jesus was moving. Jesus was active. Jesus was passing and doing miracles. He has heard about it. But it didn't get to him. But today, he heard that Jesus was passing by. Have you seen people being blessed? And it's like, when will it ever get to me? And you've wondered, God, have you forgotten me? Well, this season that we have is the moed, is the appointed time, is the due time, accepted time. It's the time to cash in and say, God, remember me in the name of Jesus. So Bartimaeus hugged, but he was bogged down by his own personal challenges. He couldn't just go to Jesus, so he began to shout. He began to call upon the name of the Lord. Remember, you are a child of covenant. If you need to call upon the Lord today, if you need to shout out to him, do so. It doesn't matter who is looking, who is near me. If I need to call upon the Lord, I will do so today. Asking him to help, to heal, to save, to deliver, to rescue, to redeem. What is that situation? Today, let your cry go out to the high heaven. Because it doesn't matter how people see you, how they describe you as a blind man, you know that there is a better thing that can happen to me if only I can touch the hem of his garment. If only I can reach him. And the enemy sees you as defeated, as blind, as forgotten. And people were even telling him, keep quiet. Keep quiet. And he shouted the more. Let nobody shut you down. People try to shut people down so that they can project themselves. And they keep you on one corner. This is the time to rise up and say, God, give me a voice. In the name of Jesus. I'm a child of covenant. I'm connected to heaven. No matter what's going on in my life, now is the time. Because I'm a child of covenant. Remember the man at the beautiful gate? He was there. For all the 30 years that Jesus was on earth, 33 years, he was there. And nobody, even Jesus, didn't stop to touch him. But at the right time. Have you thought of that? That Jesus came to that temple every day and he didn't heal that man. Because there was a time. God needed to touch him at the time that the testimony will be used to build up the church. You see, when God does this thing in your life, it's not about you. So that you can beat your chest and say, look at me now. I can do this. I have this. No, it's not about you. God visited at the right time the man at the beautiful gate. And he was jumping and leaping and praising God. May that be my testimony today in the name of Jesus. What about Mephibosheth, the son of Saul? He had grown up in royalty and suddenly he was crippled. He was forgotten. He was in Lodebar. Lo is no in Hebrew, and the bar is word. No, in a place that there was nothing, no bread. In a place that there was nothing, no word, nothing there. And yet, when the right time came, David said, is there somebody from the house of Saul that I can show God's kindness? May the Lord remember you today. In the name of Jesus, wherever you have been banished by the devil, psychologically, materially, maritally, physically, wherever you have been banished by the devil and they have taken a decision concerning you, let today be the end of it in the name of Jesus. May God remember you. May heaven remember you. May men favor you. The time to favor Zion is now. May the Lord turn his attention to you in the name of Jesus. This season of Rosh Hashanah, of tabernacles, according to the Jewish tradition, they believe it was the time that God remembered Hannah, he remembered Sarah, he remembered Rachel. People that were forgotten, they were considered barren. This one doesn't have a child. They believe by their book, by their writings, that this was the time that God remembered those women. May God remember you. In that situation, is it on your job? Is it in your family? Is it a situation that has been in your family and has caused pain? May the Lord remember and turn it around in the name of Jesus. But you need to position yourself like this man at the beautiful gate and say, no more. Every mountain that has stood on my way, that iron gate, you must come down now in the name of Jesus. Every valley that is so deep and has pulled me down, come up right now in the name of Jesus. That's Isaiah. And every crooked place in my life, be straightened. Every rough place in my life, be made smooth. That is scripture. And it shall be so for you in the name of Jesus. You refuse to be labeled. Refuse to be called blind, beggar, dependent, poor, cannot function. No, they are telling you, shut up, stay in that situation. The devil is saying, stay in that situation. It will never change. But this day, may the Lord give voice to your voice. In the name of Jesus, there is help for you in God. You can shout out. Even if socially, you are not accepted like blind Bartimaeus. Today, you are accepted in the beloveds. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. You are no more just somebody that they don't have a name for or they label. You are somebody of purpose, of substance, because Jesus is passing this way. In this season, Jesus is passing this way. Don't miss your opportunity. It's not the time to be quiet. Oh, you know me, I don't talk. No. This is the time to open your mouth and let him feel it in the name of Jesus. This is the time to say to the Father, Father, rise up, because today is the day of salvation. I receive deliverance. I receive healing. I receive freedom. I receive everything that you have purposed for my life, and the enemy locked me down and kept me as a beggar. I rise up this day. Let the doors begin to open. Let the heavens open over you in the name of Jesus. Today we can shout and say, I call upon the name of the Lord. We sang about that name. And because he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. For in Mount Zion there is deliverance. And the people of God shall possess their possessions. Know what God wants to do in your life. Know that it is a season. Be persistent. Don't let anything shut you down. Don't fight men. But in the spirit, take your stand. Don't just say, whatever happens, let it happen. No. God needs you. The kingdom needs you. Assignments are out there. God needs to send you out into the field. Believe God for the impossible. Believe God to turn situations around in your life. Ask for God for faith. If you do not have faith this morning, say to God, I need faith. And I will rise up in the name of Jesus. I want us to rise to our feet as we pray together. And we cry out to the Lord today on behalf of each other and behalf of ourselves. We are going to cry out. We are going to sing that song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art called. Savior, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, Jesus, do not pass me by. Just take stock of your life and begin to cry out to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. That like the blind beggar, I will not be silent. I cry out loud, God, help me. God, help me. Come into my life afresh. Start with me afresh, oh God. Where I am blind, where I am limited, where I am enslaved, where there are obstacles on my way, where there are limitations, the iron gate that has stood on my way. Father, I cry out to the high heavens today. I say, Father, come with help. Cry out to the Lord. Speak for yourself. Ask the Lord to make you what He has called you to be. The reason why you are on this earth, why you are in Cleveland, Tennessee, say, God, fulfill your purpose. Reach out and touch me. That situation in my life, that situation in my family, that situation in my city, in my nation, in Mount Zion, that situation that you know about, Jesus, we cry out today that the time is now. The adversity is over. The battle is over. The strife is over. We call upon you, Lord God Almighty. Arise with healing in your wings. Arise as the mighty God. Release your angels to take charge. The angel that went to open the gate for Peter, send your angels my way. Let them help me this day with my schoolwork. Is it with your marriage? Is it with your children? Is it with your parents? Is it with other friends? Whatever the situation, is it finance? Is it health? Lord, we cry out to the high heavens. We say, help, 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 help. Remember me this day. Remember me, Savior. I release upon me what I need to stand for you in this season. In the name of Jesus, have mercy upon me, O God. Remember me this day, O God, and arise with healing in your wings. In the name of Jesus, cry out to the Lord. Pray for the person beside you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, the person by your left and your right. We are a mighty army. Let us rise up as a mighty army. That season will not pass us by. It is a time of God's visitation. Oh God, you will arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time of favor, the time of remembrance, the time of mercy, the time of healing, the time of release is now. Visit us one by one. The time is now. Do it for the glory of your name. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, my God. Blessed be your name. Father, we thank you. You said that your word will not go out without accomplishing a purpose. Father, it is your word. It is not who speaks it or how it is spoken. It is your word. And the Bible says that you honor your word above all your name. So, Father, come and manifest yourself in our situations. Manifest your power in our lives. It is enough of the harassment of the enemy. Enough of the adversity of the enemy. Every obstacle, every hindrance, every blockade of the enemy. Today we report to the heavens and we say, Father, cut them off. Bulldoze them. Just like you did in the case of Peter. Remove every iron gate. and set your people free. Those that need healing, let the healing virtue of the Lord flow into our lives today, in the name of Jesus. Those that need provision, Father, show up. Is it a job? Whatever the provision, show up in the name of Jesus. We call for your hand upon Mount Zion. We call for your hand upon our lives. We call for your hand upon your people. Lord, show yourself mighty. Manifest yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.